a woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Yes, and Ken is also the co-producer here at Women's Spaces, and I just want him to know how much I appreciate working with him. And also at the end of the month, which is going to be the last Monday of the month, which is going to be, I believe it's going to be the 30th of December, Ken and I are going to do a show together like we did last year, and I'm really looking forward to that, to get to know a little bit about him and what he is doing. Well, I'm very excited about today's show. Joining me in the studio is Andrea Jones, the dining room manager for St. Vincent de Paul, where she helps implement the tasks needed to serve, I cannot believe this when I first talked to her, 200 to 300 trays of well-balanced meal a day, offered for free from 11:30 to 12:30 p.m. at 610 Wilson Street in Railroad Square in Santa Rosa. I believe this definitely qualifies her as an ordinary woman doing extraordinary things. I was amazed when she told me about what she does. And she's also newly placed, I believe, on the board of directors for the Peace and Justice Center. And it's just wonderful to have this young woman sitting across from me. And I know she's got a lot of good information to share with me. Also, joining me on the phone will be Catherine Reinhardt, the manager of the Sonoma County History and Genealogy Library, who will be talking about a special event happening on December 16th at the Central Library Forum Room in downtown Santa Rosa. It's wonderful. You know, I have to do a shout out for all the voters out there, because it's wonderful that we have a history and genealogy library, which was made possible by the funds that came in after that election. And she's going to be talking about what that entails. And it's been just absolutely marvelous working with Catherine. In fact, yesterday, December 8th, was really 165 women gathered at the Saturday Afternoon Club to, we're bringing on the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Subsurface Project, where they broke ground for the year-long centennial celebration that's going to be happening throughout Sonoma County. And I'm just amazed at how many parades there are going to be and how many exhibits there are going to be in the libraries. And as we move through this, I will let you know all the different things that are going on. And like I said, Catherine's going to be talking about the event that's happening on December 16th. That's going to be with author Dr. Sally Roche Wagner. And we'll bring Catherine on the phone as soon as she can. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the event yesterday. It was absolutely marvelous. There was 165 women that joined everybody, and we heard a wonderful panel, and I'll mention some of the names. Also, Molly McGregor from the Women's History Alliance, she gave a wonderful, wonderful presentation and gave us a historical picture of women in history and how she got involved with the History Project, and also letting us know that as women, we still have a long way to go. Well, I want to do a shout out to the folks that were involved, especially all the volunteers. I mean, we had tea and cookies, and my granddaughter, Caitlin Jensen, was there taking pictures of everybody. We were putting hats on and all kinds of different suffrage costumes on. It was really, really fun. But I'd like to do a shout out to everybody that participated. Lisa Graves, who's going to be, the new project coordinator for the California 2020 Women's History Alliance. Also, what was wonderful, a dear friend of mine that I have had on the show several times, Faith Ross, who's the curator of the Petaluma Museum. And she's going to be doing the 2020 Black History exhibit. And she's also a member of the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission. And then Stephanie Maloney talked. She was from the Santa Rosa City School Board, Trustee Area 6. And we had a wonderful, wonderful man, another wonderful friend of mine, Vince Harper, who is the Director of Community Engagement with the Community Action Partnership. And they were all discussing suffrage. And it was so interesting. Gaia Kramer, who does the Queer Life, used to do the Queer Life here, a show on KBBF, was the moderator. And she was just absolutely wonderful. And a special, special shout out to Lisa Graves. It's funny, there's two Lisa Graves. This is the Lisa Graves who was the coordinator. I want to do a shout out to her. What a wonderful event it was. It was so organized and just everybody showing up. And I love the T's. I'm going to make a correction. It's Lisa Graves. Excuse me, Leslie Graves. Boy, this is, I'll tell you something, Monday morning sometimes, especially after a weekend like we had, it was just amazing. And I want to thank all the folks that stopped at the National Women's the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County Chapter, and purchased one of our calendars and also came by to say hello. And all the fans out there from Women's Spaces, I was so surprised to find out how many people out there are listening. I always think there's only one person out there, but I found out this Sunday that there is quite a few. In fact, somebody told me I was making an impact, and that was really exciting to me. Well, listen, without further ado, I want to, before we do that, our history is our strength, and I want to just mention a few things that happened. On December 9th, which is, I believe that's today, award-winning ABC News journalist Michelle Norris becomes the first African-American female regular co-host of National Public Radio News Magazine's All Things Considered, and she stepped down in 2012. So that happened on December 9th. On December 10th, 1869, just think about it, Wyoming is the first territory to give women the right to vote. You know, I did not know that. I mean, it's just amazing. And this is all made available through the National History Alliance. We have a newsletter for the National Organization for Women, and they list all the different important events that happened for that month. And then here in December 10th, 1938, I love this one because it's one of my favorite movies. In fact, if you really want to see the struggle of women, you've got to watch The Good Earth. And Pearl S. Buck, who wrote The Good Earth, received the Nobel Prize for Laureate for The Good Earth. I mean, amazing that happened. I mean, it's really exciting when you start hearing some of the things that people, particularly since what women are doing. It's very, very interesting. Anyway, we've got another event happening. I'll tell you, the libraries are really busy. We have an event happening at the Rohnert Park Itati Regional Library at 6250 Lynn Coday Way in Rohnert Park. They're going to have a distinguished speaker series, and they're going to have for the first time a National Book Award and New York Times best-selling author. I hope I pronounced the name right. Ibram X. Kendi. It sounds like a real, real good program. And I'm going to talk about anarchism. So it's kind of interesting. And that's going to be at the Rohnert Park Library at 6250 Condé Way, C-O-N-D-E Way in Rohnert Park. And that's going to be happening this Friday, December 13th at 8 o'clock. Boy, what's going on? Well, without further ado, I want to bring on Catherine Reinhart. Catherine, are you on the air here with us?
I am, and very happy to be so.
Well, welcome here to Women's Spaces. I mean, boy, I just talked about the event. Before I talk a little bit about you, what was your thoughts about, you were at the kickoff yesterday at the, the Saturday Afternoon Club. What was your take on it?
I thought it was wonderful, and I agree that Leslie Graves, who was one of the main organizers for the Sonoma County 2020 Women Suffrage Project, really did an amazing job with, having different organizations represented with tabling and then the panel discussion and having Molly McGregor speak and Bernice Espinoza of the steering committee there to to translate, and
the indigenous
opening ceremony was fantastic. So I think it was a great day. I'm really glad to be a part of it.
Oh, I was too. And you know something, a big shout out for Leslie Graves. I mean, I can't believe the work that that woman did. When I saw all the different, you know, just the different paraphernalia that it was around, the colors and the flyers and the streams and the things on the table, everything was just wonderful. And the tea, oh my goodness, that tea was fabulous. Well, anyway, thank you so much for sharing that. And before we start this little segment that I have you on, I'd like to tell you a little bit about yourself, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. I have a really nice resume here for you, and I'm only going to give half of it because Catherine's going to be on next month, and we're going to talk about all the things that are going on for 2020 here in Sonoma County. So let me give my listeners just a little bit of background on you, Catherine. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Catherine, what's the J for?
Johnson.
Catherine J. Reinhart received an MA in history from Sonoma State University in 1994. That's my alma mater also, Catherine. For the past 25 years, she has worked in various positions within the fields of cultural resource management and historic preservation, and is currently employed by the Sonoma County Library, where she has worked in the Sonoma County History and Genealogy Department since 2002. You know, it's amazing when you go into the library and you find out, you know, that we actually have a genealogy and, you know, this center that we can get all the history that we want. And I want to thank you personally for helping the National Organization for Women with their calendar. It was really wonderful to have somebody working like yourself that could give us the true perspective on some of the history that's happening. Well, Catherine, you know, talk about, you know, what are some of the challenges right now that you're having at the library? And what are some of the things that you're looking forward to? I know we were going to have this presentation on the 16th. But other than that, what are some of the other things that you feel are really important as we kick off 2020?
Well, I think with regard to the celebration, I'm thrilled that the library can be one of several partners, one of several organizations hosting events, workshops, author series, and so forth. And I am looking forward to not only the presentations that we've coordinated here for the library, as you mentioned in a few minutes, but we have one coming up a week from today. We have, and that's at the Santa Rosa Central Library, but we have others. It's not just all about Santa Rosa. We have things going on at the Roanoke Park Library and the Windsor Library and probably other branches. Maybe some of your readers or listeners, I'm always surprised that people don't realize that the Sonoma County Library System is made up of 15 branches throughout the county. And many of those branches have community rooms, which we do our own program, but we also invite others to come in and participate, such as the League of Women Voters and other organizations that are doing things around the suffrage centennial and other topics as well.
Well, you know,
so there's lots coming up.
Now that we're coming into 2020, I mean, it's just a few weeks away. I mean, it's so hard. We've all talked. I mean, 2020 is going to be a huge year. I mean, it's just amazing all the different things that are going to happen. But what in your research and what you've been doing just locally right now, what is one of the most interesting things that you've found out so far? You know, someone was talking about, I guess it was Finley from the Finley Center, that she was surprised when she found out how much information was not there about her rather than how much was there. But what were some of the things that you might have found out that were really kind of surprising, maybe one or two things?
I guess, well, first, I just like to, one thing that we've discovered is, as no surprise to you, Elaine, is many of these people who are fighting for suffrage, they aren't written. You have to, like, dig into the newspapers. You're not going to find them in your typical county history. You have to really look for their stories, and that's what I feel like all of us involved in this effort this year are. Our goal is to bring those stories to light. And you know, there's been challenges for museums who typically want to have things three-dimensional items, photographs, things that you can put on an exhibit. But the trouble is, these people are invisible from that standpoint. So that's been maybe not so surprising, but challenging in that we can certainly write, we're writing about these, we're documenting where these people lived, where meetings were held and so forth. But the it's a challenge, but we're up to it. But some of the more surprising things that I've learned, I guess I would say that I think there's a belief out there that the suffrage movement was primarily a white privileged women's movement. And obviously that's not 100% the case. I mean, for one thing, men were participating. And if we didn't have the men to vote to the law, to pass the resolution, to pass the 19th Amendment, we wouldn't be here today. So and there's a lot of women working, men and women working in San Francisco and some of the more urban areas with immigrant groups and others to help promote the cause. So.
Well, you know, it was really interesting being at the cook-off and talking to people. You know, it was a mixed bag for me. I noticed about 50% of the people that I talked to knew about the radio show. Another 50% did not. And I thought to myself, that's really interesting because KBBF, we have two women's show. One is mine, of course, is in English. And then we have Voices of Mujeres, which is in Spanish and English. And most women don't even know about it. And so here we are in modern times in this smaller community, and still people are not getting the message out. So you look at the bigger picture, you know, trying to find out historically what happened is really a challenge. Well, let's go into what's happening on the 16th with Dr. Sally Roche Wagner. I mean, she really looks the whole write-up here really inspires me to want to go. So why don't you tell us a little bit about her and why you think she's an important person for people to see and hear.
Well, I can't say enough about how excited I am that she is coming to speak. She is a nationally recognized lecturer, author, and storyteller of human women's rights. And we keep hearing that phrase, storyteller. And she considers herself an advocate for social justice. And this is something she has been working on for the last 50 years. And she has been teaching at Syracuse University and other universities throughout the last 50 years. And she was the first woman to receive a doctorate in the United States for work in women's studies. And she got it right here in California at UC Santa Cruz. And she'll be talking about her book, which is an anthology of works of known and unknown women that shaped and established the suffrage movement. And a big part of that is the Native American role in suffrage. You know, it was something you talk about surprises. I think many will be surprised to know that people like Katie Stanton and looked towards the Native Americans living in New York where they were and kind of interviewed them. And it's like, so how are things working for you? And just observing. And there is such a strong culture of women in power in our indigenous peoples. And so she did a book, can't remember when it was published, but we have it here, I think, actually. It's called Sisters in Spirit, and it's about the influence of Native Americans on early feminists. And that is something that travels through all of her writings, her talking throughout the years, and she continues to explore. So I think, I feel that people might see her face and go, oh, another white woman, you know, what she got to tell us, you know, the same old story, but it's not the same old story. It's the story, the real story, that she's uncovered over these many years of studying. And she, something that I learned, well, one of her big things that she's involved with is she is the founder and director of the Matilda Jocelyn Gage Foundation and the Center for Social Justice Dialogue in Fayette, New York. And, it was really, and that was what her, the basis of her PhD was on this woman, Matilda Jocelyn Gage, who was a suffragist right there with Susan B. Anthony and Katie Stanton. And, but you don't hear about her so much. I mean, have you ever heard of her?
No, well, it's amazing all the different people you find, you know, that you didn't even know existed all of a sudden when you hear about them. It's just amazing. I mean, that was what was so interesting. You know, Molly McGregor, you know, who was the founder, one of the founders of the Women's History, the National Women's History Alliance. Her and I went to Sonoma State together, and I can remember us walking. We were walking to class together, and we were talking about there's no women's history and how we have to have it, and how J.J. Wilson from Sonoma State stepped up to the plate. And before you know it, we were exploring women art. There was actually a women's art show in 1980. I think I actually have a poster of it, but also recognizing the difficulty women had getting recognition, not only in the academics, but in the arts. It was just amazing. So we've come a long way, baby. I'll tell you.
We have. We
really have. When I looked at the room yesterday and I saw, and I know many, many of the women in there, and I know not everybody, but a great majority of them are very successful. And so it really did my heart good. And I hope that we continue this, you know, because a lot of the stuff that's happening in today's world, we're losing things, and we have to hold tight not to lose them and make sure that we gain more. For example, the Equal Rights Amendment. I mean, when you think about it, it still hasn't been passed. It just blows you away. Well, Catherine, are there any last words you'd like to say and share with our listeners? Anything of importance? And I'd like you to stay on the line, because I found a very, very special song that I'm going to do on my musical break that I want to dedicate to you. So anything, any special words or anything that you'd like to say as we say goodbye? Let us know the time and the address of where the event's going to be.
Okay, so the lecture or the presentation by Sally Roche Wagner will be Monday, December 16th at 7 o'clock at the Central Santa Rosa Library in the Forum Room, and it will be a free event and no reservations required. And so we look forward to seeing you there. She'll be selling copies of her book and signing and selling. And I'm hoping that she'll also bring her book, Sisters in Spirit. And then if you have any questions for me, I'm at 707-308-3228. And that's my direct line here at the History and Genealogy Library. And we are open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. And if you are interested in learning more, doing research, we've got many untapped resources that are just waiting for someone to dive into them. We have another volunteers working on mapping the sites of people who are involved in the Sonoma County suffragist movement and writing biographical sketches, and that will hopefully all be compiled into a book at some point in time. And so I hope to see folks here.
Well, Catherine Reinhart, I want to thank you so much for all that you're doing for the library, for holding on to our history and sharing that history with us. And just overall, thank you for all that you do.
Well, and thank you, Elaine. And, you know, one of the great things about this whole project is I've gotten to know you and people like Leslie Graves. It's wonderful.
Well, thank
you. Very excited about the future.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's true. You know, women coming together more and more, and to see what a powerful community that we actually have. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. And just hang in there for a minute, because we're going to take a musical break. So the song I will be playing is called Library Magic, and it's sung by Head and Heart Singers. And when we return, I will be talking to Adriana. Did I pronounce it right? Jo? Jones, and I'm really excited about this. Adriana is the dining room manager for St. Vincent de Paul, where she helps implement the tasks needed to serve, and I'll say it again, I can't believe it, 200 to 300 trays of well-balanced meals a day offered for free. It's amazing what St. Paul de Vincent is doing. And also, I just found out from Councilman Jack Tibbett that they're actually in the process. They bought the Gold Coin Motel, and they're turning it into shelters and homes for the homeless. And just a big shout out to Councilman Jack Tibbett for his involvement in that. And I know how hard. Actually, if you want to find out a little bit about it, there is a little article that I wrote in the Sonoma County Gazette, and it really is just wonderful news to hear that. So let's go ahead and let's listen to Library Magic.
Come to the sword, library of magic, whispering through the dusky air. Watching all the thinkers read, trying to keep all their quiet, pulling teeth on the winter's eve. Cracks, holes in the familiar road, I'm on this one to find out. Educators and brothers for us. I stay up in a cloud of eyes, listen to my every move, just try to survive. Self-imposed adventure in this selfishness drive. I can barely keep my head above the blue, try to keep it off me and you. But I can't see the sunshine there, even if we have all making music is what we do, trying to weave the patterns for me and you, trying to make the grasses breathe and the grown man cry. Truth and life is where I lean. Take a look at the funnel's wind. Try to come out and walk again. Understand it's beyond me. Talking, trying to come out and walk again. Understand it's beyond me. Talking. I can see the sunshine's rays, even through the clear water. Till I make it out the door, this chapter's right.
Library magic. Boy, it is magic. You know, I have read so many books about people who have made a success and positive thinking and all that, and 90% of them come from somewhat poor backgrounds, and they always say they got their first introduction to positive thinking and literature through the library. So support your library, folks, and get your kids to understand it and get away from those cell phones and go into the library and read a book. Well, For you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga in Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and women's spaces. Gee, I wonder when I give it, if I give an opinion and maybe people agree with it, I'm saying I'm just qualifying women's space. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, you got to do that on radio. Let folks know that not necessarily what's being said is not necessarily what we agree on. But, you know, free air, got to have freedom of speech. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, excuse me, who's joining me, us in the studio, Adriana Jones. Welcome, Adriana. Hello. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Well, you know, I met Adriana when we were doing the Peace and Justice Awards ceremony, and I was so impressed the way she handled herself on stage. And I went up and I started talking to her. When she started telling me what she did, I says, you got to be on Women's Spaces. And I had no idea that it was going to tie into what Councilman Tibbett is doing. So it's just amazing. So I'd like to tell our listening audience a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Adriana Jones works for St. Vincent de Paul's Community Kitchen and helps implement the tasks needed to serve 200 to 300 trays of well-balanced meals a day, offered for free from 11:20 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Wilson Street in Railroad Square in Santa Rosa. She has a passion for nutrition that battles the elements and dreams of a world where the homeless problem is just gotten rid of. After switching careers to helping homeless, she has been motivated to talk and protect those who are treated badly by the system and the increasingly harsh elements. She is also on the board for Peace and Justice Center in Santa Rosa, and her goal is to maintain connection with the community. And I want to say one thing, Adriana, when we came here to the studio this morning, I was heartbroken to see all those tents, and a lot of them look like they were rained on, you know, of the homeless people. And, you know, there's an old saying, folks, there but for fortune go you or I. You know, I've said that always, like if a child gets hurt, you know, or a child is killed, well, that, and it could be your child. If someone is homeless, it could be you. You never know what life circumstances are going to bring to you. And that's why we have to have a little bit more compassion. Anyway, talk about, let's start this conversation. Talk a little bit about the St. Vincent de Paul program and what it is exactly that you do.
Okay. Yeah. So I make trays. I start at 6 a.m. every morning. We never close. There's not a day where people aren't hungry. So we open up every day. I've got employees. I've got court-ordered volunteers. I've got regular volunteers that do it out of the goodness of their heart. And we just chop and spice and saute and do everything we can to make a well-balanced meal every day. There's five aspects. So there's a protein, a vegetable, a bread, a salad, whether fruit or green. And then I also do dessert for people that need to maintain their blood sugar. And then I serve clover milk most of the time for drinks. So 11:20 to 12:30 in Railroad Square, free food every day, hot on a tray. I unfortunately can't do food to go because I'm liable for the food being served on site. But for holidays, it's really nice, especially if there's an elder person that doesn't have a family and needs a single meal. I always have food, and it's always house made and really, really good. So
you're telling me that there, on a daily basis, 200 to 300 people show up hungry who have no other source of food. Is that what you're saying?
So I do by tray. So I would say, yes, it is about 200 to 300 people, but I allow seconds. So I would say that it's probably about 150 if I look at it. And I mean, if you think about the homeless problem in Santa Rosa, there's 1,800 people that sleep on the streets every single night. So I probably address 20% of the problem. And I think that location is our biggest thing going for us. I think the fact that we've got in and Railroad Square allowed there to be services for the homeless to be there, I think that that's a big, really big part of why we can help so many. But I honestly do dream of getting a food truck that can go and post up for an hour in certain areas in the community and help people that can't necessarily get mobile, especially the people on the trail that necessarily can't leave their items or, you know, anything that they're tied to in that site. Because every time they leave, there's the there's the threat that things will be thrown away from underneath them. And that's what happens in Railroad Square and the overpasses. When it started raining last week, the police came and collected and threw away items of people because they know what time I serve at. So they'll come and do clearing around the time that I serve. So,
when I hear these things, it just hear you that people are going to get food and then the police come in at that time because they're not there. Shame on you guys. Anyway, you know, I'm looking across from you. You know, you're a young, beautiful woman. You know, where do you get your energy and what are some of the challenges and where do you get to, how do you keep yourself upbeat? I mean, you're looking at a population and you're looking at a situation where it's not touchy-feely, you know, it's people having problems and issues. So what are some of your challenges and how do you keep yourself motivated? How do you keep yourself up?
So I do a 24-hour reset cycle for myself every day. I have to let go of all the things that I encounter because it's really difficult to address somebody or take away a privilege from somebody that has nothing without expecting them to retaliate by hitting the lowest point that they have. So picking on things that you're insecure about or bringing up things that are kind of hurtful or saying the N-word, which I do get sometimes. So I brush it off. I give myself 24 hours and I start fresh. Not only do I make a brand new dish and do I have like the opportunity to start on something new and create something beautiful, I do with myself every day too. So I start from square one every day, 6 a.m. And I think that, you know, I really started studying emotional capacity and how you can't really help others unless you can take care of yourself. So I think that looking into emotional capacity with John Maxwell was probably one of the things that got me ready for this. And I feel like my life has just set me up for this work, if that makes any sense. Like one step has been to get to the other, and Jack Tibbetts came and found me and presented this job for me. And it's a dream. It's what food would be garbage I make into something that's edible for people that really need something, even if it's just love. I have some people that just come in and want to be in the area, you know, in a warm area. And if I can offer that, that's huge.
You know, it's amazing because what you're describing is another side of life that many of us never have the opportunity to experience. And also it helps you, you know, with this ritual. I can't think of a better word that you do for yourself every day where you let go is such an important lesson for people. Most people can't let go of things. I mean, that's one of the things that ends up with, let's say, domestic violence or even people really harming one another because they're holding on to so much stuff instead of just letting go and going on to the next day. You know, it's interesting that song we played. Every day is going to be better. It's always going to be better. And it's just what your attitude is. Well, talk a little bit about the mission of St. Vincent de Paul and how this mission coincides with what you're doing.
So St. Vincent de Paul actually started with a gentleman who wanted to feed the homeless in Railroad Square. And he just put a table outside of his house and started feeding people outside. So St. Vincent de Paul then realized that a thrift store is another way to recycle and get overhead and then create a nonprofit. So when the nonprofit was established, they wanted to end poverty through systematic change, one person and one family at a time. And I think that me offering food once a day in that prime period, I think it gives people a chance to get on a routine. I think it gives people a chance to maybe not do drugs until they see me or after they see me, like hoping that they would want to maintain composure around me. And then I also think that, you know, that hall is just, it's a big, big resource for food in the community. We use the food bank, Food Max, Raley's, Trader Joe's, they all donate what they would discard. And then I sort through it, figure out, you know, what it would be, me and my employees that I've trained, and we've gone over food and what it should look like, what it should smell like, you know, all of that. And we've made it so nobody's been sick from anything, and that the food's been really, really good and changed. So I think that, you know, each day a good hearty meal might spark some kind of change in somebody so that they can make a different decision than they would to stay in the same spot that they're at.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you're saying. You know, there's so many opportunities here for compassion, for caring, for giving, for receiving. You know, it's very touching to me. I don't know. It just, when I think about those tents and I think about the rain and then I think about them having a warm meal to come to, it really is amazing. I want to just tell my listeners a little bit about Vincent St. Paul. It started all the way back in 1581, and it was a French Catholic priest actually who dedicated himself to serving the poor. He ventured, you know, he became a saint in the Catholic Church and the Anglican Communion, and he was canonized in 1737. You know, he was known, he was renowned for his compassion, humility, and generosity. You know, folks, when you listen to this, compassion, humility, and generosity, and you think about somebody having a warm food or a warm place to stay, it really, really kind of warms your heart. Well, what were some of your major influences that brought you to this place? I mean, you say, you know, you do these meditations or this way of getting yourself clear so you can move each day. But what's your background? What gives you this oomph? And what did you study? I mean, what is your background?
So what I think you didn't realize when you actually met me at the Peace and Justice Center, too, is that my life is kind of an interesting women's empowerment experience. My background started with my dad getting wrongfully imprisoned right before I was born, and it was in Amarillo, Texas. So there wasn't much of a chance for him to get an appeal or get out. It was 18 years later by the time a minimal case charge, you know, he got out. There's a lot of, you know, miscommunication with that. And he died shortly after he got out of jail, actually, right when I started looking for him. But while my dad was in Texas dealing with that, my mom had to consciously decide to move back to California because she had moved to Texas to be with him and his family, who were a little more understanding of the biracial couple that she had. And she made the conscious decision to move me back to California with a grandma who's on more of the racist side, even though it's a beautiful place to live and has a great culture and community. And that's what she kind of banked on helping me out, you know. So she moved me back here. And then not only that, she decided that my dad was the only man she would ever love. So she came out of the closet with a new baby, a new half black baby, and faced a whole bunch of adversity. And I've never seen a more vulnerable person that wanted to share all of those things in her life be so strong at the same time. So I was just influenced by a really strong woman and her partner that have been together since I was in eighth grade. And I've been influenced in so many ways, but I didn't start to look at legal issues and how people are mistreated by the system until I really started getting into my dad's letters and looking into his cases and figuring that stuff out. And I vowed that I would give my life to help people that maybe wouldn't get a second look on the street, because I feel like my dad never got a second look in prison. And he was a great man. He didn't do anything else to get himself back in there when he finally got free. And, you know, his dad almost waited for him to get out and then passed away. So there's a lot to it. You know, there's a lot of people that need help. And I do this and I go to work and I brush it off and I have a second job to make ends meet here. So if I'm working that hard, I imagine that everybody in the community is pulling some extra strings just to make it work around here. And that means that we really love where we live if we all go to those strengths.
Well, Audiana, I have to say you're definitely an example for young people, you know, because you come from, you've had your challenges and you were able to move through. And it's an amazing story. So we're going to take a little musical break right now. And the song, you know, it's a union song, but at the same time, I thought it was really important because right now we're calling for a lot of things. You know, we want Medicare for all, you know, we want to end wars. We want to do all kinds of things, but you know, there's more than just that. We also, the song is called Bread and Roses. And the idea of Bread and Roses is that we want food, we want shelter, we want a good job, but we also want compassion. We all, like you said, you felt that some of the people come to have a meal just to be with you, just to have a warm place. You know, something is, it's you're giving them bread, but at the same time, you're giving them roses, you're giving them love, you're giving them feeling. So let's go ahead and listen to Bread and Roses, sung by Bobby McGee. And when I return, I will continue my conversation with Andreano Jones, who's the dining room manager for St. Vincent de Paul. And, you know, I'll tell you, this is a very inspiring interview for me. And you have to remember one thing, folks. You know, our youth is the future. You know, and I'm sitting here talking to a young woman who's very young. I mean, I'm going to be 80 in 6 months. To her, to me, she looks like just this young, beautiful woman. And we need to support our youth. We need to support the people, the young people that are working with climate. We need to support them. We need to say we're there for you, because the world is not going to get better if we just sit back and do nothing. We have to stand up and we have to be involved. We not only have to stand up and be involved, we have to have compassion. So let's go ahead and listen to Bread and Roses, and we'll be back with continuing our conversation.
As we come marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. As we come marching, marching, we battle too for men. For they are women's children, and we mother them again. Our life shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. As we come marching, marching, unnumbered women dead go crying through our singing their ancient song for bread. Small art and love and beauty, their drudging spirits knew. Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too. As we come marching, marching, we bring the greater days. For the rising of the women means the rising of the race. No more the drudge and idler, tend the toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses, bread and roses.
I love that song. Bread and roses. In other words, give me food and love. That's what I bring it back to. Give me food and love. You know, just in case you haven't noticed, we cannot survive without food. We cannot survive without water. We cannot survive without clean air. I can't survive without a comfortable blanket on my bed. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm talking with Adriana Jones, who's the dining room manager for St. Vincent de Paul, where she helps implement tasks needed to serve 200 to 300 trays of well-balanced meal a day offered for free. And she is also newly assigned to the board of directors for the Peace and Justice Center in Santa Rosa. And how I met Adriana was at their annual awards dinner, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Well, Adriana, let's get to the nitty-gritty of it. You know, everybody needs money. Everybody needs something, you know. I mean, here we are in KBBF, you know, by the way, talking about money. I hope you folks become sustaining members. You know, I mean, it'd be a real good thing to support the station, to support all the local radio stations here in Sonoma County and San Francisco and all of Northern California. Check them all out. There's many, many of them. Talk about, KPCA in Petaluma. Boy, they're wonderful. Actually, we're on KPCA in Petaluma. It's really a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful little station out there. I mean, it's amazing what people do on the radio. Well, let's get to the nitty-gritty of it. You know, I know your organization is always looking for volunteers. How does somebody volunteer, and what type of volunteers do you need, particularly with the work that you're doing?
So I usually need help serving from 11 to 1 would be the shift, like service and cleanup. I can usually get through the food include with the amount of volunteers that I have, and I do have about 75 active court cases at a time. So every day I get in, it's a different situation. I have to decide whether I need help or not. But I love when people drop by at around 11 o'clock and see if I need servers. And that's at 610 Wilson Street and Railroad Square, and our entrance is on 7th Street. There's a big truck in our entrance, and there's a blue door that you come in. We're not allowed to use the front doors because the city says that we are an eyesore.
Okay. So, you know, just out of interest, you have court-appointed volunteers. In other words, a lot of people are assigned community service that work with you.
The Volunteer Center of Sonoma County, actually, they have a portal where you can find places to volunteer if you're not court-ordered, but they also go through the cases and make sure they're nonviolent for me before they schedule anybody with me and give them hours to complete.
You know, I wonder, I think that, to me, having to do community service is, to me, it's much better than incarceration. I think people learn a lot more
by
coming out. It's amazing. Well, how does St. Vincent de Paul support itself? I mean,
so we support ourselves from our thrift store in Roanoke Park that is by In-N-Out Burger off of the golf course exit. And we get all the items in there and we recycle them, and then the overhead helps us pay for the dining room. We have a few fundraisers a couple times a year, too. There's a golf tournament, and then there's a big pasta dinner that just happened. But the biggest thing is actually supporting the thrift store. Go around, dig. I mean, I think we have the best furniture in town at our St. Vincent de Paul location. I think we get beautiful antique furniture. So that's a great way to support. You can also give donations at the office or at the dining hall if you want to support us. I take turkeys during the holidays. I try to do turkey for Christmas and Thanksgiving just to let people know. I don't really do ham. And then I will take donations of food that is not cooked. I like to work with raw ingredients so that I can guarantee that they've been prepared and stored correctly the entire life of the ingredient. And we're there from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day. So that same little entrance on 7th Street, 610 Wilson Street, the entrance is on 7th. You can bring any food back there and I can get you a receipt and take anything off your hands. And
what kind of food do you eat? What kind do you like? Packages, fresh? What kind of food?
I love fresh. If I could ask for anything, it would be produce. I am a vegetarian, and I firmly believe that vegetables can give you all those extra things you need.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot that you do. Well, we're come to the end of our segment here. And are there any last words, any websites you'd like to share, anything that you'd like to say, any thoughts that you have?
Yeah, so I do want to share our website. It's svdp-sonoma.org. If you want to check anything out and look at our profiles, I invite you to just come show up at the hall. And then also, I just want to remind people that everybody on this planet was put here for a reason. And as the more that I get involved with people that might feel as if they're insignificant, I think that has very harsh symptoms that come out from it. So I highly recommend that you look people in the eyes and treat everybody equal, because I think the only difference between us as human beings in this age with all the information is that we all have a different story. And I think that taking that extra time to figure out exactly where somebody came from or what influenced them or what mistakes they made, I really think that that's the only way that we can return to being a great humanity.
Well, you know, I take it one step further. Mm-hmm. I really do. I believe that we are all children of the earth. All profits, all money is all made from the earth. Everything, no matter, even buildings, everything has earth component and everything has a formula that includes the earth. We all need to share. It's our earth. It's not one person's earth. It's not a group of people. It's everybody's earth. And we have to make sure we're all fed and have the very least to have food and shelter and good water. I mean, that's the very least we can expect living on this planet. Well, dear Anna Jones, I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. I have to tell you that you have definitely been an inspiration to me. You know, it gives me hope to see, you know, just the way you close the program, you know, reminding people that we're a family of humanity. You know, I hate this thing left, right, you know, call me what you want. I believe in health care for all. I believe in education for our children. I believe in clean water. I believe in free speech. I could go on and on. I don't want to be called a progressive. I don't want to be called a liberal. I don't want to be even called a Democrat or a Republican or a communist or a socialist. I want to be called a humanist. I believe in the human quality of life, that we have to give and we have to receive. and we have to live on this planet together. And the reason that we can't live in peace is because one person thinks they deserve more than another person. And that's not true. We all deserve at least the very basics of life. That's the most we can hope for. Well, I want to thank you again, Andreana Jones, for being on our show. She's the dining room manager of St. Vincent de Paul and a member of the board of directors for Peace and Justice Center. I also want to thank Catherine Reinhardt from the Sonoma County Genealogy Center for doing us such a wonderful show and letting us know all about what's going on. A reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm excited. I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements. If you have any announcement like a birthday or an anniversary or something, you know, please, please email me at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E at womenspaces.com. You know, and also support your public radio. Whatever station you're listening to, support it. It is very, very important. Anyway, it's really amazing. It really is. And I want to do a special shout out to my granddaughter, Caitlin Jensen, actually Caitlin Beverly Jensen. She even calls herself Caitlin B, just like her grandmother. I'm Elaine B. She's Caitlin B. I want to thank her for helping me and taking all those photographs at the gathering, at the kickoff on Sunday. It was amazing watching her. Sometimes she had five or six cell phones in her hand taking pictures of all these women saying, oh, take mine, take mine. So thank you so much, Caitlin, for helping me. And a reminder, the last show of the year, Ken and I are going to be doing it together. So if you have any questions for us or any concerns or anything you'd like to know about us, please email me at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at womenspaces.com. And a reminder that everything we talked about, any events, will be listed at www.womenspaces.com. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
So easily, she knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.